The title of today's message is Starting to Live in the Book of Acts. Starting to live in Acts. When we start living in the Book of Acts, what will be the first priorities? As a congregation, we experienced a significant spiritual experience at Post Springs last Sunday. Last Sunday afternoon, June 8th of 2025. And hopefully some can come and share a little bit of what that was from their perspective. For the disciples of Yeshua, the instructions were clear. The instructions were clear. And this comes from Acts chapter 1, verse 4 through 8. Here's what Yeshua said. You are witnesses of these things. You are witnesses of what happened last Sunday. Some of you are. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. At the Mikvah waters, we prayed for every person who went under the Mikvah waters to receive the promise of the Father. But you're to stay in the city until you're clothed with power from on high. That's Luke 24, verse 48 and 49. Now, jumping to Acts, here's the actual beyond the resurrection at the ascension. Here's on the 40th day, counting the Omer. Now, while staying with them, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, you heard from me. For John immersed with water, but you will be immersed with the Ruach HaKodesh not many days from now. 10 days exactly. So when they gathered together, they asked him, Lord, are you restoring the kingdom to Israel at this time? So they're still thinking about, are you going to be king? Are you going to be crowned as king? And you're resurrected. You know, that looks like that would be the case. But he said to them, it's not your place to know the times or seasons which the Father has placed under his own control. But you will receive, however, you will receive power, verse 8, when the Ruach HaKodesh has come upon you. And when the Ruach HaKodesh comes upon you and you're ready to receive it, you said yes and all that, and you're at the point where it's being given to you, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, throughout all Judah and Samaria, until the end of the earth. Indeed, as recorded in Acts chapter 2, the Ruach HaKodesh came upon them in Acts chapter 2. And they immediately, okay, after experiencing the Holy Spirit, experiencing that it's something inside, experiencing the promise of the Father, which is your promise for them. And he's promised for us too. They began to witness about Yeshua. Immediately, that was the first actions that people that went to the mikvah of the waters did, was to witness about Yeshua. So I would like to invite as many as who wish to come and give a witness report about either what you experienced last Sunday or what has transpired this week as you begun to beyond last Sunday, beyond Shavuot, beyond what happened at Post Springs. So if anybody would like to, there's a microphone here. Marilyn, can you make sure the microphone's on? And I know you're breaking your neck to come. But if we don't witness, then we're not living in the Book of Acts. Let me say that again. The first thing that happened is Shavuot came. They went into they received the mikvah of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Like we last week prayed to receive the mikvah of the Holy Spirit, and by faith we did. For many. And From that point on, they were empowered. They were able to witness about Yeshua. Joe?
Excuse me. You know, as being actually part of the mikveh team, I guess, as witnesses, I get the privilege. Well, I've been many years I've been doing this, I guess, that I have the privilege to actually witness the Holy Spirit ministering to people when they do the mikveh. And they've come for different reasons, you know, for healing, for rededication, or just receiving the empowerment of the Spirit. And this time was no exception. You know, I get to pray for people. I get to see the evidence of the power of God working in each individual person that comes up in ways that, you know, I don't really, most of it, a lot of it's personal for the people, a lot of it's public, but normally we get the people to say why they're coming up, but you can see the change. It's you know, I can talk about it, but you have to be in it. You have to do it. You know, it's not, what the Lord reveals to you, what the Lord shows you, and how he changes you, and people come up and, you know, I don't know if I really want to do this and stuff. And then you get in the water and you get mikveh, and when they come up out of the water, they're really, truly a new person. The old has passed away, and they start out anew with whatever the Lord's given them, whether it was healing or gifting, the tongues. And I've seen the power of the Lord just work that I couldn't even say anything. But the Lord personally told me, he said that if I wanted to walk in the power, if I wanted to be able to pray for the people and they would be healed, if I wanted to see miracles happen, that I had to get out of the closet. And that's what he told me. He said, and that was several years ago, that I had to go beyond what my expectations were, go beyond what the Lord has already given me, but I got to walk it out. It's, you know, like, you have not because you ask not. Well, we have to do something, just like Rabbi's talking. If we were going to walk in the Acts, we got to do something. You can't just say, oh, yeah, that's a good idea. But as we do it, and part of the miracle that we see each year is during the miracle and during the mikveh, that there's actually God is working in a powerful way. And I know the scriptures say that the enemy comes in the morning to try to steal away what he's given. And so I'm always praying against that, because the enemy knows, you know, he's not going to mess with people that ain't doing nothing. You know, they say this, say that, or they can even do miracles. But if you don't have a relationship, nothing's going to really happen much. And the enemy can just, a lot of scriptures come to mind and stuff, but I don't want to take too much time. But anyway, the thing is, if you could see, I've been different things where one time Stephanie and I got mikveh, and it was evidence. She started laughing, and I started laughing, and then Rabbi laughed, and everybody there was laughing, and it was so, and I couldn't stop. I mean, we got out of the water, and every time I looked at her, we started laughing. And I went on for over half an hour. And so things like that happen, but you have to step in faith. You got to step out and say, Lord, I want all you got, and get the mikveh. And the Lord will do things you never even thought about, but you just have to receive it and then walk in it by faith. But it's an awesome time. I just thank Lord for the privilege of being there to be a witness to all what the Lord's doing in our congregation. And even people outside, you know, when people come and want to be met, what are you doing? Well, we explain it to it and say, oh, can I do this? My daughter And one gentleman there, he wanted his daughter, hadn't been mikvahed. Why not? So you never know what the Lord's going to do. Anyway, just thank y'all for supporting us. Yes.
Anybody else? He was the first one
that we mikvah.
It's awesome that he was the first one. Come to the, bring him to the center, please. So that the cameras are set up for the center.
Thank you.
He was the first one, and he's been mikvah before. And I, in my spirit, speaking, that Kyle needs to be first. And Kyle was at the steps. And everyone allowed him to be first. And what transpired was awesome. And what transpired, the prayer, the actual mikveh itself was awesome. When I got through praying before we mikveh him, then Joe prayed for him for his healing. And in this case, nearly every elder or shamash had a prayer for him. There were specific prayers that you there, you could hear him. I'm not necessarily remember every word, but I tell you, he does. So, Kyle?
Yes. I'm going to start since Passover, I've been very blessed, and I have to praise Adonai for that. There's been blessing after blessing, but the week of Shavuot, the enemy definitely came, and it was a lot of confusion and just wondering, but I waited. There was a lot of waiting. Didn't want to do anything too hasty, and I'll even say that Saturday night, the day before, I felt like the Lord definitely hit me with his rod, and I was very thankful for it. I like fell out of my seat and everything, and I was like, what was that? And but a lot of things came from that. I felt stronger and more renewed and just better, strengthening in my soul. And when I went to the waters, I've given a lot to the Lord, but not everything. And like Rabbi said, like 97% is nice, but it's not 100%. And I wanted to give 100 and completely trust in every single thing. And so I was willing to do that. They prayed for me. They prayed for a lot of peace to be over me. They pray for blessings for me and my heart and going forward and my hands for my business and everything in my life. And I really seen a renewing after that. Like I said, a greater strength that I can go through a lot more, not that I want to, but that I could. I feel stronger and much better at ignoring the enemy, much better at ignoring my own thoughts, moving forward into the things I know he wants for me, the things that I know are right and righteous. And I, so much more joy and peace has been in my heart, and I feel like for me, I've been in the Psalms a lot. I've been playing the Psalms, been making a lot of music, and that's been just renewed in me to continue that, not only for myself, but just whomever needs it. And I just feel like that's a mission, and I feel grateful for it. And I thank God for that. Amen. Amen.
I don't do this very often, but there is something I did feel I needed to share with you. Some of it is close to what Kyle said. for some weeks prior to Shavuot, I was aware of something happening to me in my relationship, or about me, in my relationship with God the Father, and it really, really bothered me. I was asking myself, am I really fully in with God? Am I 100% with Him? I was conscious of feeling hesitant, reluctant, balking, like, how much do I want to give you? How much of my trust do I want to give you? And just fully aware that it was not 100%. And the next question would be is this where I want to be? No. Do I want to do something about it? Yes. And that was what Shavuot, that mikvah, meant for me. I will tell you that when I reemerged out of the water, I felt like a new creature. And it's been many, many years since I've had an alcoholic drink, but I felt drunk with the Holy Spirit. Ask Kyle, because I had to hang on to him and to Lee. I could not walk. The ensuing this past week has been very busy, kind of dramatic. I've had obstacles, and I've had doors open for me to doing things or getting things that I never thought I could. I've had wonderful news about health issues within my family, wonderful news, and I'm so grateful for that. So I just want to encourage you. All God is asking us, all Jesus is asking us, is to trust Him. And think about who else on this earth can you trust like God the Father or Yeshua our Messiah? Nobody. He has more for us than we could ever imagine. And I'm willing to give Him all my 100% and more. So I just want that to be an encouragement to anyone who has been struggling with that. Thank you. Amen.
Okay. I don't like to talk in front of people, but I do like to talk to my Abba. So I am going to talk to Abba this morning, to Avinu Malkeinu, and I want to thank Him for the most amazing gift He can ever give, and that is life from the dead. Abba, I had no idea. I was born on a Shabbat, and He showed me Shabbat on a Shabbat in Jerusalem 7 years ago. And little did I know that 7 years later, on a Shabbat, on that back row, I would hear a prayer of repentance and salvation unto Yeshua. And I thank you, Abba. I thank you, Abba, for bringing your people in to make us fully Jewish in you. Thank you, and Abba. This has been a rough week. This morning I had more sick kids that I had to run in and out here to talk to than any Shabbat. Mr. Andy didn't feel good this morning either. But He cannot steal our joy. And I cannot tell you how much more there is to what's happening. We have no idea. Abba, you are doing work that we cannot even fathom. As I was meeting with Miss Sandy a few times after that glorious day before Mother's Day, two barren women that could just connect, and I actually told her I now have a Jewish mama. So, after we got together and talked a little bit, Abba showed me to show her the picture of sinful man and God, and how God cannot look upon sin except through Yeshua, who is the bridge to the Father, and that his blood is our covenant now, so that once we receive his atonement for us, we are now able to be in right relationship with Albinu Malkeinu. And as I was sitting at work, printing pictures to cut it out and to put it together in order to show it in a visual form, little did I know that there was a 22-year-old nurse, not a believer, sitting beside me watching every move I was making. I did not know. And when I finished, she asked me what I was doing. And I said, well, it's a long story. And she said, I want to know. So I shared the good news with her. And she said, wow. Again, I don't know how far that's going and when God's going to bring her to that point, but she got the message. And then I told her that I'm going to share it over lunch with somebody as well. When I came back, she wanted to know all about it. She wanted to actually meet Miss Sandy. And I said, you're always welcome. And she couldn't wait to find out what was going to happen after Shavuot. When I got back to the office on Monday, she wanted to know what happened. And I showed her a video, and she was rejoicing, and she said, I want to go too. I want to have a mikvah too. And so I told her, you know, she can have one anytime, and we will continue to walk with her. So God is doing mighty works around us that we're not even aware of. And on top of everything, Abba, you brought in a new person into your kingdom, and that person might not like to stand up here, but I will share that it is true. That person has been to Torah Club every week, and she has also shared with her counselor, and it is the counselor that we may not know is a believer. And her daddy is a Hebrew scholar. So a lot of things is happening. And I just want to thank you, Abba. Because it's none of us. It's not us doing anything. It's all you. You're the only one that can draw. You're the only one that can change somebody's heart. You knew from the beginning of the foundation of the earth who is going to be yours. And you are bringing them in one after another. And I want to thank you, Abba. And I ask you to give that passion to everybody here to go and share so that your people can come in, so that they can see and have fullness and have joy and everlasting life. And it is just amazing. On top of everything, my half Torah, when I was born, was the following. Seeing barren one who has not given birth, burst into singing and shout. You who have not travailed, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married one, says Adonai. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch out your tabernacle curtains. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. For you will spread out to the right hand and to the left. Your offspring will possess the nations and will resettle the desolate cities. And I'm standing on that promise, Abba. And Abba, if you have never given me any biological children, my heart is full. Because if you kept me from not having any children and to connect with a precious, precious, precious daughter of yours, then it was worth every time a tear dropped from my eyes. So I thank you, Abba. You are more glorious, more amazing in Yeshua. There's none like you. You gave your life. And we are standing and we will continue to share what you have done for us always. Thank you, Abba.
I was mikvahed with Dimitri, my husband, and you know, we've been married a while now, but I gotta say that, you know, my husband is a scientist. He works at the university, and I don't know if it's the indoctrination of the university or what, but we get into some pretty heavy disagreements on things. And it's affected our unity. And I gotta say, ever since we went into the mikveh waters, there has been such unity in our relationship. We even, I mean, I work bizarre hours. I work the night shift sometimes. Sometimes I work the day shift. But God has had me on the day shift for several weeks now, which has been kind of a miracle for me. And it's been wonderful that Dimitri, he wants to, you know, he wants to get up when I get up. He wants to go to bed when I go to bed, which is very different. I mean, we used to just be on complete opposite shifts, and so he would stay up late. Sometimes if I'd work all night, he'd stay up all night working, and then that way we could sleep together at least during the daytime, you know. But God has just done a miracle, I think, in that relationship. I know that the unity has been precious. I've enjoyed it. And even before the mikvah, when Dimitri has been sleeping on his side, I oftentimes will put my hand on his back and I'll speak in the, you know, in my spirit language and pray over him. And Dimitri speaks 5 different languages already, so I don't know what his prayer language is going to sound like because he already speaks so many. But I just am believing that one of the things that I feel has been a promise that God placed in my heart when I met Dimitri is he is a gift that God gave me to minister to the nations. And I just really believe that in my heart, that someday God is going to use him in a mighty way. You know, God didn't teach him all these languages for no reason. There's a reason, and there's a spiritual reason, and I'm just believing God that that is going to come to fruition. And I do believe that being in unity with him in that mikveh was a very, it was like a stand. Yes, this couple is in unity. Yes, this couple is being used of God. So I just thank the Lord and give him the glory. Thank you.
Amen. Anyone else? There's a lot of people that were there that are not here today because this is the time of the year when trips happen and things happen and things like that.
I got something, Rabbi.
You got something?
Sure.
Okay, come on. You were in the water.
Oh, yeah. I don't know which one shook more, the water or me. Yeah, we all hung on there pretty well. Well, as you know, there's been some struggles with some families here about some things that have taken place over the last 2 years, and (clears throat) it's really, it's difficult to talk about because of the pain. But the last month, the last 30 days, has been nothing but a miracle. There was restoration made before Sunday, and there was restoration made in the water Sunday. And the embrace that we had spoke volumes of the cleansing of everything that was between myself and the Phillips family. And I truly felt that the Ruach had just went right in between us and repaired everything. And it was glorious. And some other things, some other people came up, and I think this year, you know, we've been through so many, and you guys have been through, you guys should be fish by now. And there's a fish.
Mm-hmm.
So this year was really tremendous. I think more than previous 2 years. Not just because Rabbi wasn't there for the last 2 years for the knees, not in the water, but before that, there was some mighty moves. This past one was even better. Truth was spoken. I know that as I was listening to what our rabbi was saying, I know that it was coming from the Ruach through his mouth for people to hear. And there was nothing but truth. And some of the prophecy that went out is being manifested even today. So I praise the Almighty for the obedience of everybody who came, even though the water was cold. It took some time. And the biggest event for me, and I know the biggest event for some other people's, was lifting my head up and seeing Sandy in the water. And what she went through to get where she was at. Not the walking in the water, but life. Life. And when she was assisted into that water, she could have said no, but she said, I want to. And when you in your heart say, I want to, there is nothing that the enemy can do to prevent what takes place. Amen? But if you say, maybe, well then, just don't go. But Sandy said, I want to. And the Father made a way for her to get into that water. There was some trepidation, but the Almighty took care of it. And when she went down and came up, I saw the change in her spirit. Amen. Sandy's not the same person you saw last week. Sandy's not the same person you saw before Shavuot. She's a new person in Messiah. And other people who came and made commitments to the Almighty. Not just to us. Who are we? We're just flesh. But the commitments that people came into the water and made to the Almighty, I believe that those commitments will be fulfilled. Amen?
Hallelujah. At some point, you want to interrupt, you're welcome to. What you didn't see, for example, was the number of things that I can point to I saw Elizabeth's husband come in the water with her. He's a believer. He's a Baptist believer. But he came to the water with her. And had he not, then what took place with Sandy would have not completed. And there's this, you've met him. He comes every once in a while, and he's on the beach. He was all in. He was all in supporting Elisma in ministering to Sandy. They made it possible for her. And so Elisma got this gift called her husband, who went into the ministry of the water. I mean, he's Baptist. He's already been baptized, so he doesn't necessarily, you know, have been taught that mikvahs can happen anytime. It didn't matter to him. He went. And those two were able to do something as a husband and wife. I saw Dimitri come in, and we mikvahed his wife, and he said, I want to too. And here's the main reason, he said. I think I can quote this. I want to, with my wife, together, to experience a new life. Hang on a second. Let me tell you again. I want to experience this so that I can be the husband. We can be together. I want to be together. There was nothing else that needed to be said. We did the mikvah. But did you hear that she said? Did you hear that she said that this is happening? I mean, were there a lot of other witnesses other than you? I mean, there was. It was just us in the water. No, it's already happening. What he asked was already happening. Did you hear Kyle talk about that there have been changes this week, that there's things happening inside of him this week? His mom is an awesome lady in the Lord, and she has taught her children well. You know what? It's still up to Kyle. Kyle has to embrace these things. And he was ready to. He's been before, but he was ready to. There was something that happened. I know that I spoke to a young man that's not here today. And at the moment that I was about to speak to him, it just, I must have scared him to death because my eyes got about this big. And I pointed to him and repeated the words of the angel to Gideon. You don't know the story. Gideon was he was okay. He was trying to do stuff, but he's not like he's not the biggest, not the strongest. He's not this, he's not that, he's not that other. And so he feels very, very unsure about things. But the angel of the Lord appeared to him, the angel of the Lord. So this appears to me in the Hebrew to say it's a Yeshua apparition. And says to him, Gideon, O mighty man of valor. Okay. I can almost imagine Gideon going, looking around, saying, are you talking to me? So, the place and the situation is marked in that one of the names of Adonai, one of the names of Yah Adonai gets revealed there. Yah Adonai Shalom. Yah Adonai Shalom gets revealed there. Okay? So this is a special time in Scripture where that name, Yah Adonai Shalom, is revealed. It's the beginning for Gideon to go and have all the mighty things that are written about him. the waters and the reducing the size of the army to 300 and all those things. And then when he gets ready to have the battle, there are thousands upon thousands on the hills and only 300 of them. And he gets the revelation, but he's able to follow the revelation now. And in doing the revelation, lighting the etc., Adonai gave him a tremendous victory. So the children of Israel consider Gideon one of the judges, one of the special people. But there was a time when he wasn't so sure. And the Lord had me speak to that young man exactly those words so that he would be sure. So that the Lord is revealing such things in the Mikvah waters, things that I can't even begin to tell you. I remember very, very much, unlike many previous years, I remember everything with you, and I remember everything with you, Kyle. And I remember everything with you, the two of you, and nearly everybody else who came in, besides the fact that some of the people said, I don't really know anybody here, one person said, but I know what you're saying, and I want to be mikvah with you. And I said, well, how do you want to do it? I said, well, I want you to go in there with me. So I did. Okay, so I actually went down at least five times. And Joe probably went at least four, maybe five times, because he went on his own for another one. And I'm just saying to you, something happened. But instead of talking about what happened last week, you can begin to hear that there's been fruit, that there's already been things happening with those people. And they are not all here. What John shared, it is a miracle, because in the Mikvah waters a year ago, you know, I couldn't go in the water. I just had an operation, so I couldn't go. I was on the shore. Barely could hear what took place. He shared somebody that they needed to do something. Totally biblical. Totally, absolutely biblical. Like if I tell you, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Would there be any discussion as to is that biblical or not? Did Yeshua say that or not? Did the Father say that as well? It's like there's no discussion. But it wasn't the right time. It said whatever happened that created an impasse between one of the elders and this person, because they couldn't go there. Just couldn't go there. We have compassion and all those things, all of us do. But we prayed, Lord, let this person be able to go there, because she needs what she needs from you will be totally unlocked when she can do what the prayer said. Forgive us, I've been forgiven. And I saw that 2 weeks ago in outside. I saw I was walking by and saw the interaction between John and might as well say Elizabeth. And I just had to like say, oh Lord, you are preparing things. That's awesome. And I walked to my car and sat there and watched the interaction and the hugging and so on. In the water, that he can tell you what she said. I want you to know that at that moment when this is about to happen, and she's able to do what he said with her own words. I'm still struggling with that, but I am able to do it. She couldn't do a year ago, she could do. She went into Mikvah waters, but she went in there with John. Then they embraced, like a father embracing a daughter. And so Joe and I standing there like, can we get a chair and sit down? Because it feels like we're just going to take a dive ourselves. And others, the reconciliation happened. And then the mom who hadn't been able to be there had a tremendous miracle to get there. Somebody came and asked her. But she went in the water and to say, you know, that all the things that had begun with her husband, that the Lord is completing now. And so he's gone, as you know. David Phillips is going to be with the Lord. But she's continuing in the completion of the things that were begun even then. And, you know, what was interesting to me is that the true message for her was given by Sam Fraser. And he began by saying, I'm of the humblest of beginnings as anybody here. We were really poor. Really, really poor. So he shared from his heart and gave Lisa prayer of empowerment, etc., before we went in the mikvah waters. Now, I could tell you about every one of them because unlike, I don't know so much what happened to Dorian 10 years ago. I don't know so much what happened to Stephanie X many years ago or Marilyn X many years ago. I know what happened to me. I don't know what happened to the two of you when you first went in many years ago. It was good, but I'm remembering almost everything about what happened Sunday. And I can share with you and say, it's starting to happen. Now let me finish. Because this is part of what the Lord wanted me to give. I'm just going to read it. I have two thoughts in closing today's message. First thought is that 7 years after the outpouring of the Ruach HaKodesh in Acts chapter 2, the Ruach gets outpoured to the Gentiles at Cornelius' house. Okay, Cornelius, Acts chapter 10, Cornelius was a Roman centurion and his family. 7 years. Here's what the Bible says. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Ruach HaKodesh fell on all those hearing the message inside Cornelius' house. All the circumcised believers, the blood Jewish believers, who came with Peter were astonished because the gift of the Ruach HaKodesh had been poured out even on the Gentiles and even on the hated Gentiles from Rome who were oppressing Israel. Those were not their friends, their enemies. Then Peter answered, can anyone refuse water for these to be immersed who have received the Ruach HaKodesh just as we did? 7 years after Acts chapter 2, in Cornelius' house, Cornelius' family, all Gentiles, it took a vision to get Peter into that home because he wasn't going. Because Jewish people did not go to Gentile homes. And the Lord said, you got to go. And he understood it, and he went. And this is what did happen. So he commanded them to be immersed in the name of Messiah Yeshua. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. That's Acts chapter 10, 44 to 48. So the question I have for you is how much of the Ruach HaKodesh was being given to the people at Cornelius' house? And the answer is all of it. And who are the witnesses? Not just Peter, but also all of the Jewish believers who were in Acts chapter 2 that were with him are basically saying they're experiencing the same thing that was experienced in Acts chapter 2. Was it any different that it was for them in Acts chapter 2? The answer is no, it was not any different. For us, this has been 7 days, not 7 years. For us, it was seven days, almost 7 days. Since we experienced a special Shavuot immersion on June 8th, prophetically, we have begun, a new era has begun, and the dawning of that new era, the new third awakening, it started on Shavuot. It started on the Pentecost of 2025. This past Sunday, the Oasis Church Middletown, Ohio pastor, prophet, his name is Tim Sheets. He's Dutch Sheets' brother. He's a well-known intercessor. Okay? And there are many times when Apostle Dutch Sheets has shared from his pulpit, as well as many others from around the country, from all those, and Marilyn could tell you who their names are, that I don't know all their names. All of them have been there. But here's what he said. It was important enough for me that I went and got the transcript. I'm going to read you what he said, a little piece of what he said. He said, Holy Spirit has talked to me about this for many years now, through prophetic words, dreams, visions. And he described to me one vision that I remember from the early days when we were building this building, talking about when he was building the church building they're in. He was describing an outpouring that he would one day follow through on, just as surely as he did in Acts chapter 2. That's what that vision was about. He called it, at that time, it was in 2020, he called it mega outpourings. Mega outpourings. His mega outpourings, one after the other, after the other, after the other outpourings. Plural, mega outpourings. I believe that we're now in the time of those mega outpourings that will produce an accelerated harvest. Yes, it's a billion soul harvest. And I believe the prophets and apostles of today's ecclesia have said so. I believe with them that the great revival promise has now begun. It is in its infancy, but it has begun. And it has been confirmed and is going to build a worldwide kingdom revival. It is in the process, okay? It's in this process now that this Pentecost, he's speaking Sunday. He's speaking on the day of Pentecost. He's speaking to this Sunday on this Pentecost. Today, this Pentecost 2025 is the first Pentecost of the third great awakening. This Pentecost, this Shavuot, is the first Shavuot inside the period that is now called the third great awakening. It's the first one of those inside the third great awakening. And that's significant to me, he said. It means to me that the Holy Spirit is now or will now rise and follow in follow-through mode. He will be following through his promises with promises that God has made to us. Some of them that have been delayed, as it seems to us. He's following through on prophetic words declared unto our times. He's following through on dreams he's given that had to be prayed on and had to be stewarded. Those that had to be declared by obedience and patience with faith. Things that we ask for, they're coming. I believe that this is an appointed time for the vision of the Godhead. Keep those words in mind. This is an appointed time for the vision of the Godhead, for awakening, for revival, and for reformation. This vision will now speak, and he quoted Habakkuk. It will now speak, and it will not lie. This Pentecost, which was last June 8th, last week, is prophesying. And it is prophesying Holy Spirit's latter and early rain together. Supernatural signs and wonders and miracles follow through in these times. This is a divine reset moment. Just as Noah's day was, just as the Exodus was, just as the Acts chapter 2 experience was. A reset, divine reset. This is Holy Spirit's power and presence, and it will fill the people as it did in Acts chapter 2. That was being spoken about the same time that we were starting the mikvah Sunday. Second thing I want to keep with you. He said that this vision of the Godhead is speaking for awakening. In this week's Torah portion, Beha Alotcha, okay, Aaron is instructed to light the golden menorah. As I said, the Levites are going to do it for the first time. Light it up. Speak to Aaron and say to him, when you erect the lamps, that's the erect of the lamps, is the Beha Alotcha. Just as the pattern that Adonai has shown to Moses, so he made the menorah. And they're about to light it. Would you like to know what the Haftarah portion is for this week? The Haftarah portion for this week is Zechariah 2, 14 through 4, 7. I want to go to towards the end of 4, a little bit to 4, 7. And in that vision of Zechariah, the menorah is prominent and is lit. Look, then it says, then I responded, Zechariah, by saying to the angel that was speaking with me, the angel saying things, and I responded and said, what are these, my Lord? These two trees with the menorah in the middle. The angel who spoke with me responded to me by asking me, you do not know what these are? And Zechariah replied, no, my Lord, I don't know, and I'm not even going to try. Sometimes you see, you experience things of God that you know, and you like to explain them, but they're unexplainable. Let him explain it. This is Zechariah. Then he responded to me, the angel responded to me saying, this is the word of Adonai to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my ruach. Okay? Says Adonai Tzvaot, what are you, great mountain, before Zerubbabel? You will become a plain, and he will bring out the capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it. This is the Zerubbabel that is a descendant of King David and Solomon, that is an ancestor of both Miriam, the mother of Yeshua, and Joseph, the father, the earthly father of Yeshua. They have a lineage that goes through Zerubbabel. And one of them goes to Zerubbabel one way and one goes to Zerubbabel the other way. But Zerubbabel, it's a common ancestor. Zerubbabel is a person coming back from the 70 years captivity, coming back from captivity. The only one that was in Judah that was a descendant of David. In other words, Zerubbabel was the anointing of David, and Solomon was on Zerubbabel. He could be elected king, and that would be okay. But that's not what happens. Instead, he becomes the governor of Judah, the governor. But that governor has lineage to King David. He has lineage to King Solomon. Zerubbabel becomes the main architect of rebuilding the second temple, along with Yeshua, the high priest. Those two are the ones responsible in Haggai and in Zechariah. They're the ones that are shown responsible to accomplish something that is of great magnitude. They're going to put back together the temple, and in that temple, Yeshua is going to walk in. In that temple, Yeshua in flesh is going to walk in. In the first temple that was destroyed, that was Solomon's temple, Yeshua never walked in there. But the second one, Yeshua, and the third one, by the way, he will be seated in it. What human strength? It couldn't be done. But instead, what the Lord's message to Zerubbabel is, not by might, not by power. This gigantic thing in front of you is going to get done by my spirit. I want you to hear that. It's not by might, not by power. But the mountain in front of us, the ministry in front of us, is going not going to be accomplished by human strength, but solely by His Spirit. According to Rashi, for example, Rashi wrote from the Jewish perspective that the temple would be restored, but not because of physical human strength. Rather, it will be because of the Spirit of Elohim, the Ruach Elohim, will inspire Darius, the king of Persia, to allow the people to build the temple in peace and even help with money, etc. While we may believe in ourselves, remember with humility that we are not solely responsible for the works that Yeshua once done. We're not solely responsible. We may be chosen, we may be part of it, all those things, but we're not the all in all. The power doesn't come from us, it comes from the Holy Spirit. Therefore, because of that, we need to be, and we are, totally indebted to the Almighty. In other words, what's coming on, this revival is coming on, and the Kol Simcha's part in it, it's not about Kol Simcha, it's about Him. Pastor Tim said, this is an appointed time. This is the vision of the Godhead. Well, the vision of the Godhead in Zechariah was the menorah, which was first lit right there in the parashat for this weekend. Okay? The connection cannot be denied. The connection cannot be denied. That the lighting of the menorah and the menorah of Zechariah are telling us it's not going to be by might, it's not going to be by power, it's going to be by the Spirit. We're going to have to be able to walk in the Spirit. We're going to have to be able to pray in the Spirit. We're going to have to be able to do all kinds of things in the Spirit that we have never done. Why? Because it's bigger than we are. Why? Because it's beyond anything we can think of. Why? Because for years we've been praying for Jewish salvations, etc. But they're here. They're here. They're here. For years we've been praying about reconciliation, such as what took place in the water between John and Elizabeth. For years we've been praying about such things. For years we've been praying about you, people like you, Kyle, to get your vision. For years. For years we've been declaring all kinds of things. It's about to happen. And it's already happened. There's already enough miracles for us to say. I asked the question last week, how much of the book of Acts are we doing? And answered the question, said, not a whole lot. That was last week. The mikvah came, and this week we got something. And this week we got some things to think about. And this week we got enough to be excited. I know it's empty. So I'm going to prophesy to you seeds. Get ready, because the Lord is going to fill you up. The Lord's going to fill you up. Prophesy to the mountains and say, yield your things. And the right bone connected to the left bone, and etc. In Ezekiel 36. I'm prophesying also that we are going to have something major to do. How major? Well, only the Spirit knows. And He has that for you. You can't convince Jean that something didn't happen to her husband, who's not a member here. I also want to say, you can't convince Elisma that something didn't happen either. When her Baptist husband went into the waters with her and was the one who facilitated, the one whom God used to bring about Sandy's immersion physically. I don't know. We can just go continue like the song, merrily, 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 rowing down the stream. Or we can stop for a moment and acknowledge that there's some baby steps happening here. And those baby steps are getting us excited about the bigger things that he wants to do. I hope you agree. I hope you agree. I hope that even though you only had two or three, that you agree that there's something happening. And that, you know, it's like with anticipation, we look for every other opportunity. What is he going to do now between this week and next week? I pray that it be so, because what that means is that we are appropriating the resurrection experience. That we are appropriating the resurrection experience and then applying the power of the gift that Yeshua sent us because of the resurrection. Because of the resurrection, we are resurrected with him together, sitting at the right hand of the Father. All those things that the Bible talks about, that we can look at it and say, well, I'm not sure about that. I know that it's true and it's happened to many people, but I don't know that it's happened to me, we could say. Our congregation had not a whole lot to write about in the last 30 years, 33 years to be exact. And this week, we got plenty to talk about. We just scratched the surface. And a lot of the people that have so much to say weren't here. So I think we filled out at least another page. In our book of Acts of Kol Simcha, it's finally starting to get some pages written in it. So I do believe that the Holy Spirit is activating on his congregation things that are going to yield a marvelous harvest to the Lord. And it will be a privilege to be part of that. And it includes salvations. And it includes touching people that were not even part of us. It includes answering prayers for people that are not sitting in these pews, that are not saying we're messianic or any such thing. Well, take heart, those of you that are messianic. Take heart, those of you that are part of these scriptures. The Lord is doing stuff. And you can just go ahead and go home and say, well, he's not. Or you can agree with the prophets. And we have prophets and intercessors in our congregation. And they could speak for a while about the things that God has had them pray about that they're seeing begin to happen now. Gird your loins. Get ready. Because here we come. Here we come. In Yeshua's name. Amen.